Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast, where these two people here have become better than one because they become one, and we get a good reward for our labor. And when I fall, she picks me back up, and when she falls, I pick her back up. We are your hosts, Ronald Corsi Jr.
And I'm Chelsea Corsi.
And we're still married. I threw Chelsea off right there with that pause. It was a weird pause because I threw myself off, to be honest. Sometimes you throw yourself off and sometimes people push you. But, you know, amen. The fact that you rebound is what really matters.
Amen.
I can remember being young and you'd be on the swing, you know. There was a time where I could get on the swing happily. I'm getting older, Chelsea. You know, you try to do normal, like normal kid stuff. We discount, you know, the fearlessness of children.
Yeah.
Because kids, you know, when I was young, we jumped off roofs several times. Not once, like, oh, let's not do
it. How'd you get up on the roof?
See, you're asking logical questions to foolish minds, all right? back in the projects, they had a random building. I think it was the maintenance building for the projects. I think that's where they kept, you know, like lawnmowers and whatnot. It was like a one-story, fairly flat roof. But next to that, this is so ridiculous. There was a, what do they call it? It's a storage container, like that goes on a truck or you put stuff in. And we had to, it was actually
so you climb up on the storage container and then climb up on the roof.
Then jump off the roof.
Yes.
Amen.
And you never broke any bones?
Nah. Didn't break any bones, just jumped off and said, all right, that was good.
That's good.
Let's do that again. Be like,
well,
that's
what happens when you don't break any bones.
That's a fair point.
You do it again.
That is a fair point, Chills.
Yeah, yeah.
That is my how you get up on a roof story that you shouldn't be up on at all.
Amen.
Amen. But the main point is that children are fearless.
Yeah.
And I can't even get on a swing anymore, Chills. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, if you put me on a swing, you know, my body starts locking up. Like, you can start getting too high and it's, I gotta get up off this swing.
That's just because you didn't continue. I feel like adults who still like are okay with that feeling in the gut of dropping.
It's the gut.
They never stopped dropping.
Baby.
They either like still go to amusement parks and get on roller coasters on a regular.
Yikes.
I feel like that's what it is. It's those people.
The people
that kept getting on roller coasters into adulthood. Yes. I haven't been on a roller coaster since I was 18.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got on it several times that day.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I never have been a fan of them, but that I always would pick the ones that I would be willing to get on.
Yeah.
But like funny. At this point, it's been 14 years.
It's a wrap.
I ain't getting back on no roller coaster.
You might die.
I might die.
You might die on that.
My body is not even.
Yes.
Too aware,
and they ain't even gonna memorialize you good because they mad because they was in line. They ain't gonna put no cross up and put it at the foot
Terrible.
Of the roller coaster. No, they gonna put you on the news and say, why would this lady, this 32-year-old woman, get on this roller coaster? Yeah, you have children, ma'am. What are you doing?
Well, there's plenty of 32-year-old women on roller coasters, but they're the ones who always kept getting on them. That's all.
You must have kept you. See, you like rides more. You would be on stuff that was like
I like rides
that would really kill you.
Yes.
Amen. But today, what's typical on the Better Than One Marriage Podcast is, number one, the first thing we talk about is nothing. Okay.
Yes.
In the Seinfeld-like way, we're gonna have a show about nothing. I just shoot the breeze. Whatever's going on in my life, and I think of something, I just say it.
Yeah.
And we talk about it for a little while, but then we go into a topic.
It's
you know,
true.
A pre. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I just want to say something real quick because I don't want to forget to say it. There was something I wanted to show you on Gilmore Girls that was funny. And I wanted to tell you that so that it won't not happen because I really wanted to show you and I don't want to forget.
Yes.
But the reason I brought that up is because Gilmore Girls starts off the same way. They have a random.
Ooh,
they have a random just whatever. And then the intro to the show and then the actual episode happens.
Yes.
But whatever happened in that first part doesn't necessarily correlate with anything in the episode.
That happens. That's true.
Yeah.
That's funny for them. That was a typical sitcom.
It was.
You know,
yeah.
Have something. Sometimes it made sense and then sometimes it didn't at all.
Right. Sometimes just a funny little quip.
Just a funny little.
And then they keep
this
going.
Is our show. I think it was funny that you said random.
Excuse me.
Because you tried to put together random and phantom.
Yes.
And I also think it's funny that people sometimes say, I can't phantom that. And they're trying to say fathom.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've always wondered about how they came to that conclusion. Somebody, mm-hmm. some people say, I don't have no idea. I'll be like, you mean idea?
Well, I usually hear idea.
Ooh. All right, now that, okay. Yeah, we got to move on from that. Because we start talking about words that people can't pronounce good, and we'll be here all night.
This is true.
All right.
God bless you anyway.
So, but I was, when I was running down our normal
yes, go ahead.
Show structure.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea would have the topic, and we would go from there. But today, I'm taking the topic.
Amen.
And if you haven't yet, subscribe to the Better Than One podcast. It's good for your marriage, and it's good for somebody else's. And if that's not enough for you, maybe you'd like to be seen, and that way you can give good marriage advice. And I say, man, you got some really good marriage advice, and you can just take the credit. We'll give you the credit. You got the credit. It's yours. No problem. But today, you know, in our theme, we're talking about why should I got married? Why should I got married?
See, we all do it.
It's very country. Mm-hmm. But why should I get married?
Yes.
And today, when she started singing that song, who, whatever her name is, Pace,
mm-hmm.
she's one of the Pace singers. And she was on the little, I seen a little clip on YouTube of her on the Steve Harvey show singing, trying to, you know, I don't know, just get a little shine or whatever. And she's singing a song talking about the treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought of, we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm.
So let me read a little bit of that scripture.
Okay.
I'll just read a little bit. Where it says, this is cast down but unconquered. But we have, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us.
Mm.
We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body and the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body.
Mm.
For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh.
Amen.
And I thought about, what is the thing that you treasure most about being married?
Mm.
And I've learned that there's things that the Lord treasures. Like, you know, he treasures good things about us. Well, not treasures. He delights,
yes,
in good things about us. But he treasures the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of him is his highest regard. It makes him the most happy. It's something that he, you know, it's something that's close to him. So I thought, well, what is the thing that we treasure most about our marriage?
Mm. Well, what do you treasure most?
Well, I treasure, this is what I would say, is that I treasure the nakedness,
mm-hmm.
that comes from a bond that's unbroken. And by treasure, it means this is something that you would not just give up freely, and it's not something that you would act as if it's not important.
Yeah.
There's a level of nakedness that we share, not only physically.
I'm sorry, and I did keep saying nakedness.
Naked. Oh, I'm going to.
And it's reminding me of you literally talking about words that people say. I'm sorry.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes, yes. T.D. Jakes was just saying naked and afraid.
Okay.
Naked and afraid. They should get T.D. Jakes to do the intro to Naked and Afraid.
Okay.
That's my man. He's the man. All right, but
yes.
It's the nakedness. It's the ability to, like, I know I can actually be my true self with you in a way that I can't be, at the very least, even comfortable or even phantom being. I'm clowning, Chels. I'm clowning. That I couldn't fathom being with somebody else. But it's not just based off the fact that we're married.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off the fact that we actually have trust.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I treasure most is, and here's the thing, it's like treasure is not just something you have that's valuable. It's something that you'll protect.
Yeah.
That you'll, and treasure, you'll protect treasure with your life.
Yeah.
If necessary.
People have definitely killed, yes, and been killed,
yes,
over it.
And pillaged and yeah, done other various things to find what they think might be treasure.
Yeah.
Right?
And it ain't even there sometimes.
And, that preaches, right?
My God.
You think you're trying to find some treasure and you listen.
My God.
But you'll protect that, the nakedness that we share.
Mm-hmm.
Is because here's the thing, it's like, as a naked person, listen, I feel like I'm about to be rambling. Oh, well, as a naked person, you're uncomfortable. Like, if you can imagine the first time you or I saw each other naked, it's like there's this uncomfortableness that it's like, ooh, I'm naked. Mm-hmm. I hope they're not looking.
How's he gonna take this?
How's he gonna take this? How's she gonna take this? Let me hide my peen.
Okay.
I don't need to see it. But then you gotta show cheeks. Like, oh no, just no. What are we gonna do here?
That's hilarious.
I didn't feel like that, but it is like a little awkward.
It is, yeah.
Right, but to now, my nakedness is not even noteworthy.
No.
It's like I'm not even. It's like, oh yeah, you are naked.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah. Be forgetting, like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, you're just out here.
Yeah.
No, isn't that nice? Yeah. but the only way you keep that is not by not breaking the bond of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's so crazy. It's like if we have that breakdown of trust or that bond, it's like you wouldn't want me to see you naked anymore.
It's true.
It's because you've broken the bond.
Yep.
Which is so amazing. Like that sometimes people, well, I ain't gonna say it's amazing, but It's off-putting that people could throw away that bond so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find yourself, like, you know, breaking or really breaking your vows, or you're out here committing adultery or trying to have a side piece, it's like, man, the treasure of marriage is the bond and trust. And it's like you are literally breaking it.
Yeah.
And making it of no importance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find yourself there.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So I would say that's the thing I treasure most.
Wow. I think it's just a space where I can be flawed and wrong, but you're not gonna give up on me.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah, if things, same thing with what you said. We hope, right? Mm. Because that bond might be broken. Like many people are experiencing that in this moment,
mm-hmm.
where that bond has been broken. It's something to be treasured, but that don't mean we do it. But yeah, I always pretty much say the same thing about you in general, just our relationship that I really, highly regard, is that, I don't know. I don't expect you to like switch up on me.
Yeah. People do get to switching sometimes.
Yeah. So I don't expect you to one day come home and just be like, yeah, I'm not. It's like mm-hmm. I'm cold toward you now, and I'm, you know, I'm done with you basically, and yeah. like, you know, because you just did this thing that like that was it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like in marriage that should be the one relationship where that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in marriage and in like a parent-child relationship.
Yeah.
You know, like parents typically that doesn't happen, and then spouses typically that shouldn't. You know. It shouldn't happen where it's like, this is the only place I know, like, you're still going to be there, though. Like, we can have all this beef and you're still going to be there, though.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to treat, I don't know, you don't treat your spouse the same way you treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that in that way, because I'm not saying like other people don't matter as far as like being forgiven or bygones be bygones. But it's just a different type of like commitment.
Mm-hmm.
To a person where like you're literally making a decision that you that like no matter what they do within reason,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, within the law of the Lord, that you're just not going to be done.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, because I've had other types of relationships where like it just where relationships just end over petty stuff. It can be really petty, or like I could even just not even be trying to do anything wrong and do something wrong by accident, or, and is it even wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, you did this and I'm done with you. And it's like, well, dang, I didn't even realize I did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
as far as like dating relationships, like what did I even do? Or like you did something wrong and I call you out on it and now it's an issue.
Right.
You know, and now I'm done with you because you said something about it.
Amen.
And I'm still speaking of dating relationships.
Right.
But then, like, in a marriage, you're specifically saying, I'm not going to be petty.
You hope. And we both going to be petty.
Well, at least not eternally petty. Eternally. I'm not going to let it just be an eternal wedge.
I'm going to be talking about that time you stole my juice until somebody dies.
But I'm not leaving.
Yes.
And I'm still going to love you, though. You know? When it comes to mine, I might get a little perturbed. Yeah, but I'm not going to be like,
I don't love you no more because you stole my juice.
Mad, Chels.
You know, I feel like we're just less inclined because there's some people we have not committed to in that fashion.
Right.
That's really what that reflects. Like with other relationships, like in friendships mm-hmm. or with a coworker or just something like that. Like I'm not committed to right. this.
Not at all.
So if you steal my juice and I don't want to deal with you no more, I'm just not dealing with you no more.
That's funny. Man.
But I love that. It's like this is, I honestly think, yeah, marriage even above like anything else yeah. that you're making a conscious decision. I feel like with parents, that's more of like a natural mm-hmm. thing. With marriage, it's a decision.
Amen. That's funny because when you said that, I had to get with somebody at the job. Is this guy going to take my stuff out the microwave? And right as soon as it was done, I'm like, hold on, I might need more time in there. Like, what are you doing? Like, just grabbing my stuff all out the mic. Must be, hey, nah. We ain't doing that. I don't care. How you just going to open up the mic? I'm like, lock. What you doing? And he don't speak no English, so he was speaking on Spanish. I'm like, hey, man, okay. Well, you know what I'm saying. I don't know. You don't even know if I'm done. All right, I'm in the microwave, and I'm here. It's different if I wasn't there.
Right.
Sometimes people microwave stuff and leave.
Right.
And now I ain't going to be sitting there waiting on the microwave and you're here. I'm sitting right there. It beeped. I'm like, okay, let me stand up. Hey, what you doing over there? Get up off my stuff. But that was a little anecdote.
It's hilarious.
Or antidote. That was a little antidote.
Oh, dear.
I'm going to see how many words I could tear up for the rest of the podcast. But I think it's noteworthy that we have to be able to properly assess the difference between a switch up and a natural growth situation, right? Because this is where communication is actually very important, because proper communication, it almost expels an actual switch up. Because when people switch up, Chels, what they're doing is expressing physically something that they're dealing with internally that they did not express.
Yes.
Nobody actually switches up anything.
That's true.
Right? It's because internally, I'm not switching up and saying I don't want to go to the movies no more. I never wanted to go to the movies, but mm-hmm. I never said it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kept it inside.
Yeah.
And this is the hard part of this. I mean, this is why we literally were just before we did the podcast, we were having a really lengthy discussion about our talking back and forth,
mm-hmm.
having communication. But it's in having those hard or at least tense conversations that you can actually get to the root of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Chelsea is really good at that, right? I'm not, you know, I'm kind of just like, whatever, it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
We ain't got to talk about it, and I understand. We'll be good. But it's not always the case. It's actually like, no, you do actually need to talk about certain things, because when you don't, this is what causes the switch up. This is what causes the curveball. This is what causes the change up. It's a different pitch. And to you, it looks different, but to them, it's been building up so long that it seems like it's natural now.
Yeah.
It seems like, oh, no, I didn't come out of nowhere. I've always felt this way.
And how did you not know that?
Exactly. How did you not know that?
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there like, I've never heard anything about this.
Yep.
You don't like going to the movies now?
Yep.
We've been to the movies 100 times.
Yeah.
I've always hated the movies. When were you going to tell me?
Right.
Hey.
No. And the person who's saying they don't want to go anymore, mm-hmm. they have a toot about it, too. Why are you asking me again?
Again.
To go to the movies? And they're like, what do you mean? And you're just sitting here like, this is why you don't even love me. You don't even pay attention to me.
Whoa. Whoa.
You should have knew that.
Yes. And where did this come from?
And it's like, you don't realize. No, you should have said that. Mm. And now both of y'all, maybe the other person should have been more attentive.
Yes.
And you should have been more communicative.
Yes.
Both of you should have gotten it together.
Yeah, listen, Chels, this is what the scripture says. We are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed.
Mm-hmm.
We are persecuted, but not in despair.
Mm.
I'm sorry. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Like, this is literally like, it's like the order of a relationship is like, we have a lot of issues, but it never overtakes the relationship.
No.
Right?
That's true.
It's like, we're always doing something that could tear away, but we're always doing something that could build up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pull. It's like a, you know, it's like a natural, like a weaving of something.
Yeah.
It's like a weaving of a tapestry, just to sound deep. Mm-hmm. It's like you have to pull things away and you have to put things in. You have to lift up and you have to pull down.
Yeah.
It's like that's, and this is talking about the life of a Christian person. Whereas the life of a marriage is, you know, it can be significant of a Christian person as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were discussing Chelsea, I was literally thinking to myself, because here's the thing, Chelsea, you don't think I listen to you.
Why do you keep saying that? That's not true.
Because it's true. I don't listen to you.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. No, you don't think that. First of all, I was just joking.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't always know the extent that I'm hearing you. Like when you say things, you know what I mean?
Okay.
You may feel like I'm not really.
Do you mean hearing as in understanding?
I mean, yes, hearing, understanding, okay. Adhering, okay. Adjusting, not just, you know, mm-hmm. speaking to me.
Okay.
Like I hear what you say. Mm-hmm. And praise God, I'm humble enough in my heart to accept it. Sometimes we're still talking about it. You may not know that.
Right.
But in my heart, I'm listening to what you're saying. Where you're saying to me, you're coming off as judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm taking that and saying, am I to myself, Ron, are you coming off as judgmental?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. You're my mirror.
Mm-hmm.
You know me better than anybody. Well, other than God. Right. Mm-hmm. But you know me better than any other human on earth. So if you're telling me that I'm being judgmental, then I am.
Or at least sounding.
Sounding. Because
it's not always
not
the intention.
Heart, but yeah. I mean, you know, I'm coming off that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be able to take it and look at it for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and not look at you as, you know, like an enemy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say this, is that marriage and really just relationships in general, that like there's a natural struggle.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a natural struggle to just be together.
Mm-hmm.
For me to look you in the face and be okay with you being there. And for you to look me in the face and be okay, like, yeah, this is good.
I think, too, that, like, it's really important to just take, like, just to know that conversation is not always confrontation.
Yes.
Because, like, I think it's easy to, like, because honestly, like, what I was thinking about as far as, like, a topic was like how men don't want to get married because as far as like, why should I get married?
Mm.
They're like, I shouldn't get married because I don't want to deal with women, you know? Cause there's just such a negative connotation around like, can we talk? And everybody's like, Oh Lord, here
Jesus.
We go. She want to talk. That's and right. I'm like, and I'm like, well, praise the Lord. We want to talk because y'all don't,
yes, correct.
You know, you don't want to talk.
Amen.
And we out here trying to bless you, mm-hmm. to work through some things that you would have just never talked about or worked through.
Yeah.
And maybe the Lord is trying to take you higher.
Higher.
But you need to dig deeper.
Deeper.
And, you know, we may be helping you to do that.
Nah, yeah.
You know, but they're just, no, we don't want to talk.
Nah, I won't talk.
Or, you know, we're out here trying to avoid, you know, springing something on you 50 years from now that you never knew was an issue. And now I'm going off.
Yes. Yes.
Now I'm throwing hot grits in your face because I thought you cheated with Sheila back in 38.
Oh,
and
man.
You ain't even do it. But now you hot grits.
That's funny. Hot grits. That's drawling. How you throwing grits in 2038? Don't even sound right. It probably wouldn't be eating grits in there.
The man look,
yes.
But no, it's just funny because like men don't want to marry women because they don't want to deal with women, and women don't want to marry men because they don't want to deal with men,
yeah.
You know. And it's a misunderstanding of like the treasure of the woman,
right.
And the treasure of the man,
right?
Because at the same time that you don't want to talk as much as is the same time that like I may need to reel it in a little bit because I'm overthinking, and I'm over emoting. You know, like I'm just naturally the deeper thinker, the deeper talker. It's going to be more extensive, but it's like, but it doesn't need to be that extensive. Like maybe I'm here to help you not be so overwhelmed and overtaken by certain things, you know, but it's like, but that's the beauty of the two coming together,
yeah,
and being better than just one, because on your own, man, you don't want to dig into nothing, and woman, you're digging too far and you're like overly emotional about it. And it's making life feel heavy for you, you know? So you're telling us lighten up and we're telling you dig deeper.
Right.
And it's like, that's the better than one, because on your own, nobody's there to do that.
Right. You ain't lying.
Cause if you don't let nobody get close enough or stick around long enough. Mm-hmm. Because some people will be in a relationship for 50 years and never got married. But that means you never got close enough for that to happen. Yeah. You know, versus somebody that, you know, I got a different girlfriend at every family reunion or a different boyfriend at every family occasion, at every Thanksgiving. Yeah. And so it ain't nobody there long enough to even know who I am.
Right.
Yeah.
Mercy. I think about, and this is actually, I'm thinking about Isaac. Isaac had servants. He was digging wells, if I'm not mistaken. He was digging wells and and other people from, I guess, around those areas was coming and saying, this is the wells we dug. We dug these wells. Uh-huh. And they would just leave. Be like, all right, well, I guess let's just go dig more wells. And he would keep finding water.
Mm.
And I think it happened like twice, maybe three times. I can't even remember. But when you made the imagery of like, I'm digging too deep and I'm digging too shallow.
Yeah, yeah.
It just reminds me that like we're made to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really God that brings the water.
Amen.
It's like, and this is why you were saying in our body we're working death, but we're glorifying God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're dying to ourselves, but we're glorifying God in the process. And it's funny because if you put yourself in, and these were his helpers, like I guess his servants, like they got to keep digging wells.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I already dug a well. That was our well. Like we dug it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't theirs. It's not fair. But I think the takeaway is that it really doesn't matter where you're digging, but that you're digging.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
Because it does not matter where you are in the process.
Mm-hmm.
We just started a well. We're digging.
Yeah.
We're almost done digging a well. We're still digging. And the water is the water of the Spirit. It didn't matter where they went.
Mm.
Wherever they dug, the water was.
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Because God says, you know, I'll be like a river in the desert.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
I will be sheltered in outside.
Mm-hmm.
I will be a tent when it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be a tent when it's hot for shade.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter where you are. If you're digging, I'm coming with the water.
Amen.
And I'm gonna water this thing.
And in marriage and in our spiritual walk with the Lord, like, we need to have the mindset of looking for the water, I think, because we can get so focused on the digging and just upset that we have to do it, you know, because that scripture you just read is saying we are.
Yes.
Not we might be.
Oh, man.
We are
certainly
persecuted, confused, cast down, all this other stuff.
Yes.
You know, so we can focus on that or we can focus on, oh, but when we dug, we found water.
Yes.
When I was outside, there was this tree. When I was over here, a friend and I were just talking about childhood and how both of us, she much longer than I, but both of us dealt with periods of time where our biological mother was not there.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how like God sent us another mother.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And it's like you can be so focused on, but my mom wasn't there, that you don't see.
Mercy.
And it's not too, it's such an interesting dance trying to balance, because you don't want to ignore issues, but you do want to also at the same time acknowledge blessings.
Yeah.
You know, because it's they're both there, you know, and it's like you can see both. And it's hard, you know, and people get in a marriage and they're just like, oh, well, he doesn't do this, but he does do that.
Right.
Oh, she's not this, but she is that.
You are.
And what do you want to focus on?
Yes.
You know, Philippians 4:8. I mean, if you read, I was reading Philippians 4 the other day, and Philippians 4:8 is saying, whatsoever things are good, true, pure, lovely, praiseworthy, virtuous, all these things, think on these things.
Mm-hmm.
And but right before that, he's saying, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I am in. You know, so and he also says earlier in that chapter, rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's telling you, rejoice always, but I'm acknowledging that I have been abased.
Yeah.
and abounded. He's not saying I haven't been. No, I have. Yeah. But I've learned to be content. How? Because I fix my thoughts on what is good.
Yes.
I fix my thoughts on what is true and pure and lovely and all of that. Mm-hmm. That is how I can be content when I'm abased.
Right.
And I focus on the fact that I have not always been abased. Mm-hmm. There have been times that I also have abounded. And we can get in these areas where we're brought low. And it's like we've never been high before.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, ugh. This whole thing sucks. It's like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That's a trick of the enemy that makes you want to think that. You know, it makes you want to think. It's just like in the Garden of Eden where, you know, we have all the trees and there's this one.
That's one.
That we can't have.
Ooh.
And now everything's wrong.
Everything's wrong.
Now everything's wrong. God didn't give me nothing. He's trying to keep something from me.
Wow.
No, he gave you the whole garden.
Yeah. Whole bunch of stuff.
The whole garden. It just this one tree.
One tree.
One tree.
It's only one of them.
It's only one of them. And but no, but well, he didn't give me this and now I'm mad and now I can't focus on all the other trees.
Right.
I want this tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, is it a true, it's a real struggle.
Yes.
It's not to say, and that's different because God was actually keeping something. Child, I don't want to get too deep.
Get too.
God was you know, that was different because when it comes to God, like, he's always right.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's keeping something from you, you're not supposed to have it.
Correct.
Even when it seems like you should. Certainly. Because now the serpent comes to you and says he's keeping good things from you. Mm-hmm. When God is like, no, you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but that's bad.
Yes.
You have a part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I know the repercussions.
Yes.
And you just know, oh, he's keeping knowledge from me?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound right.
Right.
But, like, it is right. You know, so with God, that's different. But with, so there's things that God does keep, quote unquote, good things from us sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But that good thing is not good for us.
Yeah.
That's that. But I was trying to say that with human beings, that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there are real, you know, persecution. Sometimes there is real persecution being cast down, being abased.
Mm-hmm.
There is, that's real. But so is God. And so is his goodness.
Yeah.
And, you know, but the struggle is real. And what I've realized about the Bible is that the things that are in it are because we need them.
Yes.
Right. So nobody has to remind you or even tell you in the first place to fix your thoughts on these things if you were automatically going to do that.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. When you said that, I was sitting there thinking, because when stuff is true, oftentimes it's in scripture, if not all the time.
Yeah.
It might be hard to see it, but especially like, you know, like quantum physics and stuff that didn't even exist, but it's still in there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like literally the idea of that, I have a situation in front of me that is bad, but it's also good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to choose to see the bad.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the bad is right there.
That's it.
But in order to find the good and well, I'll tell you the second thing I thought of was Daniel. Like, because I just started Daniel today, and it's actually pretty short, so I'll be done by tomorrow, Lord willing. But Daniel, first of all, he was a eunuch.
Yeah.
Which means he was, more than likely, he was castrated, which is something I never even thought of.
Oh, wow.
But he became part of the eunuchs, and it's like, listen, you not only are you in captivity and a eunuch, well, not only are you in captivity, but you're also a eunuch, you know? So you're already in bondage, but then you're a eunuch because you're a part of the king's court, right? So God blesses them with wisdom and understanding, and he can, you know, he can discern dreams. And because of that gift, he has to become a eunuch, because they had eunuchs were castrated so that, you know, I guess females around them would feel safe, that so that these slaves wouldn't do anything to them. So he's in the king's court, and he's serving the king like closely. That's why they made him eunuch. So you're going to be a eunuch. So you're going to be where we are. You're not going to be like out.
Out with your people.
Right. You're not going to be out with your people. You're going to be with us. So just to make sure
we don't want no intermingling going on here.
Ain't going to be intermingling. So they would castrate them.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's a eunuch. That's not just a biblical. That's like a general thing.
Well, no, I knew that eunuchs
right
got castrated.
Right.
I didn't know about that purpose. Yes.
That, and that may not have been the only purpose. Some mm-hmm. people might have just been extremely wicked and say, we're going to just mm-hmm. wipe mm-hmm. out your whole nation from the earth. Mm-hmm. So we'll castrate all of you. But some for some purposes, it will be because you might be serving the queen. Mm-hmm. Something like that. You're, mm-hmm. you're serving something close to the royalty, and we can't have no situations. Oh, wow. mm-hmm. But he also gave him favor.
Yeah.
Favor and wisdom and understanding to the point where it's like you mm-hmm. couldn't even be in this position if you hadn't been in that position.
Yeah.
If you weren't castrated.
Yeah.
And a eunuch and a captive. And then he, you know, you wouldn't even been able to get to that. Right.
Yeah.
But then I thought about the thief on the cross. It's like, here I am. I'm on a cross, but I get to be with Jesus.
Mm.
It's like everything that I've done has led me up to this cross. And here you have one guy. He's a perfect, it's literally a perfect picture of, Here you have blessings and curses, right?
Yeah.
Choose you this day which one you want.
Yeah.
Here is a man, literally Christ is in the center. He's either on whoever's right or left, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy is mocking him,
mm-hmm.
and the other guy is his soul is being saved.
Yeah.
While on the cross.
Yeah.
He's being saved because the blessing is literally right there.
Wow.
All he has to do is look to the left or to the right and see it. But here's the issue. The other guy's looking to the left and the right saying, you right here with me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get us out of here.
Wow.
I thought you was the son of God. And this guy's looking to the left or the right and says, you know, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a picture. Powerful. A picture of, it's like, wow, is that who knew the cross would be such a blessing?
Wow.
Not just for us.
Yeah.
But for those who were on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it can be hard because there's times where you're just like, but God, why did you? Because I think about people who get into marriages that where people really do switch up,
mm-hmm.
where they were someone while you were dating and engaged,
yeah.
that they are no longer, like, seriously.
Yeah.
And now you have made this, you've entered this covenant with mm-hmm. them. And you're just like, I just think about all the things that we are subjected to, because basically, you know, the essence of what you're saying is like, we're subjected to some really hard stuff and some big things can be taken away from us. There's things that everybody you think in your mind should have that yeah. you don't have. Mm. Like being castrated is like,
yikes.
Yeah.
Kill me, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please.
Uh-huh. And so you're giving up something huge.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, like that's really just what the Lord is dealing with me with in this conversation, is just, you know, it's not that I'm not asking you to give up something huge. It's not that I'm not actually making you go through something very hard.
Mm.
Some things
yeah.
that are very hard, because it didn't stop there. The man was in a lion's den. Yes. that wasn't enough. you know, and sometimes we can just be like, Lord, it's not enough yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I, help me, Jesus. You know, like a few weeks ago, we just talked about how we just had a miscarriage, and I literally was just, Lord, it hasn't been enough.
Mm-mm. No, I guess not.
You know, it's, and not to say, and a lot of people go through a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, but when you feel like you're going through all the things, it's like, well, Lord, what do I get spared from? Like, what is the thing I don't have to experience? And I hesitate to ask that question because I know that there's a lot of things I haven't experienced. And I'm like, yes. Lord, have mercy, because I ain't trying to get you to show me.
Please don't show me.
That ain't what I'm trying to
show
do here,
in
Lord.
A dream, Lord. In a dream.
Right. In your word would be even better.
That'd be even better.
Yeah. you know, but yeah, no, I know that that's not, you know, I don't mean that literally.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean that in the amount. You know, in the amount and over the span of time, it's like, you know, I just sometimes feel like, dang, you're like really laying it on heavy here, aren't you?
Mm.
Like, and I think about these people in the Bible that we're reading about who are real people.
Yeah.
That was their real life.
Certainly.
And, you know, I already got taken from my homeland, everything destroyed.
Mm.
I'm already in this place where like I'm an outsider and outcast and nobody worships my God, and I might get in trouble for doing it.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not free to be who I am. My whole heritage is lost,
mm.
you know, all this stuff. And then I'm castrated
yeah.
and I'm, but it's like, yeah, praise God. You're working in the king's court and there's favor there, but I didn't ask for that. I wanted to stay home.
Yeah.
Like, let's call it what it is. Like, Lord, I wanted to stay home. Mm-hmm. That would have been so much easier. I mean, this is, it's cool that you're like giving me favor in the midst of, but like, yeah. I ain't asked for all that. I was just born. And then all of a sudden I was here and it's like, ain't nobody asked for all that. I was just trying to live my life.
That's funny. I thought it was pretty interesting that I was thinking about the patterns of the actual, you know, events of Israel going into captivity and that they took and got young men.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they were young men, and depending on when all of this happened, like they were, you know, kind of coming into their young men-ness.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like fully grown men, which mm-hmm. means that they weren't really the ones that did the ill doings.
Amen.
It really wasn't sins of the parents, right? Yes. It was really the sins of the fathers
mm-hmm.
and the mothers that caused them to have to even be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And but somebody had to have told them, or they got it that, hey, we don't bow down to idols and we don't worship images. We don't do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it's like, listen, you've been castrated.
Yeah.
If they'll castrate you, who knows what else will they do?
Amen.
And they are adamant. I don't bow down.
Yeah.
Nope.
Because I fear God more than I fear you.
I fear God more than now. It's like somebody put that in them.
Mm.
So it wasn't lost upon, because we feel like a lot of it was lost, but it's like, no, somebody was getting the message of serve the Lord your God.
Yeah.
Him shalt thou serve.
Yeah.
And it's just because they're like, and you know, and then you got Daniel, he's flagrant. He's like flagrantly adamant.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they work up a plan to basically trap him
mm-hmm.
to where he, number one, I mean, it says a lot about Daniel because it's like he's so faithful. Like, we actually can't find anything wrong with him.
Yeah.
We have to find something. Thank you, Lord. See, let's fix it. Sometimes people talking about you is not them spiritually attacking you. Okay. Let's establish that. Sometimes people just have eyes and use them. Right? Sometimes people just have ears and hear it. Like, oh, man, they were really cussing up a storm over there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say they were a Christian? They're probably not a Christian. Then they come to you and say, I didn't think you was no Christian because you was cussing up a storm. Oh, and then you come into the Lord, come to church. Oh, they're just speaking so much slander.
Don't get me started on these doggone.
Yeah. But it's like, and you're acting like things that are not becoming of a child of God, and then don't get all surprised. Oh, they saying I'm not saved. Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I was with them on that one. Are you saved?
Right.
But it says a lot for Daniel. That's the life we have to live, is to be faithful to the point where they say, okay, they literally say we can't find anything wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to find something wrong with what he already does for his God.
Yeah.
And he says, as his custom from the early days, he would go to his upper room.
From the early days.
From the early days. He would go to his upper room. And he would, open the window and pray openly.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, when after Daniel knew that it was signed, because they got Darius, they trapped Darius, which is so amazing. And I told you about that sermon, Chelsea, that Robert Morris, I believe he was talking about Darius and Cyrus. And I can't even speak on it because I'm not knowledgeable enough. But they're trapping Darius. And I don't think Darius knew why they were doing it, because and they're trying to get him to say, you know, hey, for 30 days, can't nobody bow down or pray or worship anybody else except, you know, can't worship to any other god except, I guess, whatever, the gods of us Babylonians.
Mm-hmm.
And he signs it for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then this says after
the first time this
says
happened.
After Daniel knew it was signed, then he went up to his upper room
and still did it.
And started praying. Which is funny, but then they come back to Darius and say, who is this, you know, this Daniel guy, which was their plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
And Darius was tore up about it because
mm-hmm.
he didn't actually want to do it to Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is the same thing that happened with Esther.
Yes.
And Haman. And,
it's the same thing. I don't even remember what point I was making now. What point was I making, Chels?
That people talking about you is not always them. Like, sometimes they're openly attacking real sin, but they couldn't find nothing wrong with him.
Yeah. I don't even remember. But I think I was just making the point that anything could happen. That he was adamant. That was the point I was making.
Yeah.
That they were adamant about sticking, like, you know, praise God for the words of the prophets.
Right.
Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It's like it meant something because somebody heard it.
Yeah.
It's like, it's even not, it doesn't seem, you know, like it. Yeah, even when it don't seem like it. It's like, yeah. No, they're the only way they could have been that adamant, especially in the face of they've already been enslaved. They've already been castrated. And they said, okay, all right, that's fine. Mm-hmm. We will not bow down to your idols or your graven images flatly.
Yeah.
It's like,
and they threw them in the fiery furnace.
Wow. It, literally.
It wasn't like they escaped.
Did not escape.
But they weren't burned.
It wasn't burned, Chelsea, and did not smell like smoke, right?
Persecuted but not forsaken.
Amen.
Cast down but not, but not in despair.
Yes, not in despair.
Or perplexed but not in despair. Cast right. down but not destroyed. Not destroyed. All the things.
All these things. And you just, like, this is the hard, I feel like this is the hard part about God.
Yeah.
It's like when you say, when you become the thief on a cross that whose soul gets saved, it's like, man, did I really have to, did I have to come to a cross for my soul to be saved?
Apparently you did.
Did I have to be enslaved and castrated and thrown into a burning fire?
And then in a lion's den.
And then, well, well, that was Daniel, right?
Yeah.
And this was, you know, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael.
Yes.
They were thrown into the fire.
Well, yeah, all four of them, right. Yes.
But not four, no. No, it was only three.
Three?
No, it was only three. Daniel was not thrown into the fire. The fourth was
you're right. I forgot.
Yes,
I forgot.
Was like the Son of God, right?
Yeah, I forgot he wasn't in there. Correct. I'd be throwing him in there,
which is funny. Sorry, I asked that question. I don't know where he was. I don't know. But you know what I think? You know what I think is that sometimes we think that the testimony like carries over, and that, well, Daniel's God is this, and he rose with, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. So. They think, oh, well, they must know God. But I believe that I don't think Nebuchadnezzar really did. He knew that Daniel knew because, you know, this guy, he was a fool. Mm-hmm. He's going to kill his own people because he's like, hey, you tell me what I dreamed and tell me what it means. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, you know, if you could just tell us.
What was the dream,
tell us,
sir?
What the dream was. You know, then we'll be able to interpret. He's like, no. She said, and they're like, nobody's ever asked anything like that.
That's dumb.
Because that's craziness. Yeah, but then, of course, Daniel, he comes and he does the dream, right? And he tells the dream and he interprets it. But now Nebuchadnezzar knows that Daniel's God is true. Like,
yes.
There's no way to fight against it.
Yes.
But the association of, okay, now he becomes higher up and he says, and I also want Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. He doesn't attribute what's to Daniel to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. This is why I believe he threw him in the fire, because Daniel wasn't nowhere around, because I would believe that Daniel wouldn't have bowed either, but it doesn't say anything about him, because why would somebody, number one, want to deal with somebody who they know they can't really defeat and who's also just like the only person I can really trust to tell me stuff when I don't know it. Mm-hmm. So I ain't really going to mess with him, but y'all three, y'all don't just get the associative, oh, you know God because they know God type of thing.
You ain't interpret no dream.
Nah, you ain't interpret no dream.
You just acting up.
You acting up. You over there. Amen. But I think it's just important, you know, to sometimes you have to look at what you treasure.
Yeah.
And not just about your marriage, but about the person you're with. Mm-hmm. You know, I treasure your sweetness. Amen. You know, I do. I treasure the fact that You've never yelled at me. Never, not even close.
Amen.
Maybe because I'm mean, but whatever, whatever the reason, you know, like you've never raised your voice. I've probably raised my voice, but I don't think I've ever really hollered at you.
No.
Not like a real, you know, but I treasure, you know, I treasure the fact that you're just really sweet and that you really know the Lord. I don't even count that lightly. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people just, you know, they actually do switch up on you out of nowhere, it seems like, especially concerning the Lord. Like, what was going on? I thought you loved the Lord. Now you don't believe in God. You're an agnostic.
My God.
You're an atheist. Are you kidding me right now? What
not
are you talking
good,
about?
Not good.
But I treasure that you're a woman of God and that you really are a mother and that you really are sweet and you know, you're not deceitful and you're not mean. You're actually just really pure of heart, at least towards me and most other people, if not all other people. Yeah, I treasure that from you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I don't always feel like
yes
that about myself, you know.
That's fine.
But praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well,
I mean, well, I didn't know if.
Well, you could have said something about you treasured me. It makes me feel like I'm not loved right now. I'm honest with you.
Well, no, because I told you I treasure you because you're steadfast.
Steadfast.
In the Lord and in sometimes. Our relationship and in relationship. The things that you say you're going to do and all of that. And we're not, neither one of us are saying that we execute any of this perfectly at all times. But, you know, but for the most part. You know, you're very steadfast. And I just feel like that's an honorable quality. I feel like it's a godly quality.
It is.
Because, yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that I know that, like, you seek the Lord and you will continue to seek the Lord. And, well, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I pray.
But that's your intention.
Yeah.
You know, I we're married and we're going to stay married. Mm-hmm. You know, you love me and you will continue to love me. Like all these things, and not that you will execute it perfectly at all times, but that is your intention, and you try.
Yeah,
you actually really try. Like you work at this job, you work at this job. Mm. Like I'm not just not all willy nilly.
Very funny,
you know. Just like you're one of those people where you're just when you make a commitment, you do your best to keep it.
Yes,
and the most important one, of course, is to the Lord, and then everything else falls into place. But
yeah.
You know. I think that the way that you are toward me, toward others, and in the work that you do is a reflection of your commitment to the Lord. Being committed in other things is an overflow of that, I think. So,
yeah, I learned that. And going back to the Hebrew people, or the Hebrew four, fantastic four of Daniel, is that, you know, somebody taught them.
Amen.
They had, it's, you know, somebody knew that we're done with that idol worship thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned, you know, I learned steadfastness from my father.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned treasuring God from my father.
Mm-hmm.
It's because he's one of the few people that really treasures the Lord and his word and knowing him and more than in a way than. And literally in the purest way you can think is that it's natural and not forced at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like when somebody walks up to you, Chelsea, and starts having a conversation about the Lord, unsolicited, unwarranted, with literally zero fear of how you'll take it.
Yeah.
And no preconceived ideas on how to do it or should I do it. Does not matter to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Just, nope, we're talking about the Lord now.
That's all.
And it's perfectly normal in their life.
At the bank.
No idea that this is.
At the store.
Literally. Didn't even know that. This isn't what people do.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I could care less. Like, the Lord's been too good. And that's the steadfastness that I've learned. And really, I'm learning now to treasure the Lord in a way that I don't have to talk about how I treasure him. I just treasure him.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
That's the, you know, I don't have to talk about, you know, it's not about that. It's
my
like,
penitence.
No, I just treasure him. And you know, because I'm just talking about him.
Amen.
Yes. You know, based off of what comes out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not what you said, but your actions and you know, your heart towards a lot of things.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So you know that you treasure your marriage, not by always what you say. Sometimes what you say matters, but it's more about your actions towards the person. You know, actions have always spoke louder than words, and that won't change much, to be honest. So if you're saying something to your spouse, be sure to back it up. And that's if you mean it. And if you don't back it up, you should also consider that maybe you don't mean it. Maybe I don't mean that, you know, I want to spend more time with you if I don't. Maybe I don't mean I want to speak to you more sweetly if I never do. You know, maybe I don't mean I want to be more consistent at work if, you know, I keep having these unexplained days off. I'm off today. You've been off a lot. No. It's something, they're doing something new over there. Yeah, it's called working. They're working over there. Yeah, but I encourage you. That was very man-centered right there. Not saying a woman can't be lazy. But that sounded very manly. He's like, no, they're doing something new over there. It's like, well, okay, that's different. But we just encourage you guys in the Lord, first of all, because he's good and his mercy endures. Where you need mercy, he will give it to you.
Amen.
And where you need grace, he already has given to you, which is amazing. His grace is sufficient for you. And it's literally exactly what you need, which means empowerment, divine empowerment, the giving of things you don't deserve. It means a few things, but all that you actually need is really already provided. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest lessons for us to learn and be okay with as Christian. Everything I need, God has already provided.
Amen.
And where you need mercy and where you need an uplifting, God has placed himself in your heart and he has placed your spouse there to be able to do that. You feel a little down today? Here comes your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a hug, honey. You seem mm-hmm. like you're down today. How did you know? Because I pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You seem like you need to go out. So you go out. Mm-hmm. You need to go, I don't know, go bowling, whatever you want to do. Go do that. But the Lord will help you and he will uplift you because he wants you to succeed in your marriage because he wants you to glorify him.
Amen.
And his church and Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
So I love you.
Love you too.
Wonderful. We love you all and we will see you guys next time.